All right. Am I on? Am I hot? I mean, not am I hot. I know I'm not hot. But the microphone is, correct? Oh, they are very dependable people back there. Indeed. Well, it is just a marvelous privilege to have this opportunity to preach this morning. Does this come up at all? Probably not. Okay. First of all, let me just say, I know this church is a church of great cooks. Not that I need great cooks, but wow, I was here for the Thanksgiving meal, and I'm ready for the next one, whenever you have one. So, so good. But seriously, this church, this fellowship is a very rich, rich place, in my opinion. And I want you to deeply know that. I noticed that Scott's sermon title, had he been here this morning, was Trusting Transition, is what I saw in the bulletin. But I kind of speaking on something similar to that, actually, because I believe we're living in days of transition that is necessarily calling us as a church to be more. We must be more in Christ. And many of our churches have not been more. We've been a lazy people over the years. You know, I have served as chaplain. I currently continue to serve as chaplain at Colonial Heights, which is just right across the road here. And I have seen hundreds of Christians come through that place over more than 20 years. But I've got to say that it is quite astounding how many Christians do not know the Word of God. With all the access that we have to the Scripture, in all the various translations and versions that we have, it's quite, and I'm talking about people who have gone to church all their life. I'm talking about the kind of person that would say, every time the church doors were open, I was there. And yet they don't know the Scripture. We're in the season of Christmas. Actually, we're still in the season of Christmas. Christmastide. This is the fifth day of Christmas. And you all know the song. On the first day of Christmas, I'm not going to sing for you, but you know the song. The fifth day of Christmas. I forget what the five things are. You all know? Five gold rings, which tradition says is talking about the first five books of the Bible, the books of Moses. Did you know that? That's tradition. But how many of us have gone through what was really Advent? And you all practice Advent here, and we practice Advent here with the Advent candle, and let's see, love and peace and joy and hope, I think, are the four things that those candles represent, with Christ's candle being in the middle, and on Christmas Eve, you lit the Christ candle, and we did all that. This church, this fellowship did all of that. But my question is to us, now what? Or what now? What now? I mean, I was in Kroger last night getting some things for a family dinner that we're having at our home today. And I noticed that all the Christmas Reese's cups were gone. I was hoping they'd be on sale. They weren't on sale. But they had Valentine's Day hearts in place of my Christmas trees were these hearts. That's the world. That's the world. But we're not the world. We are the people of God, the body of Christ. And we must ask the question, what now? What now? And I know this fellowship is in transition. We're in transition in our lives in multiple ways nearly all the time. But this congregation is in transition. And you had a pastor here for many, many years and done well. Because this is a rich place. It's a good place. And I believe Scott's a good pastor. I really do. And Rachel. First time I came and heard them and experienced their ministry, it spoke to me personally. Because I believe this is a rich place. I believe God wants to do something really marvelous with you. Don't know what. Don't know what that looks like. But we must be open to those kinds of things that we would call those things transitions. They are transitions. But we must be open to what's the new day, the new vision, the new thing that God is wanting to do with us. With us. Life can get pretty boring if we're not, or it can be pretty exciting and cutting edge if we are allowing God the Father and God the Son, Jesus, and Holy Spirit to be the stuff of our lives, to define us. Now, I was talking earlier about people not knowing the Scripture. I wanted to read the Scripture, since we're still in this season of Christmas tide, about the Magi. You know the Magi? And I want to say a few things about this story. Well, let me just say this. If I were to just ask any of you, just off the cuff, to tell the story of the three kings. We have a song, We Three Kings, of Orient Are. You know, what would that story look like? And I suppose that most people might say, well, there were three kings, or magi, or wise men. We're not sure, but they came from the east, but we're not really sure what was at India or China or where was that. We're not really sure, it doesn't say. And they came to bring gifts to Jesus when he was born. I think most people would say that, when he was born. And so they went to King Herod to find out about it. And then they went to give the gifts. Well, that's, I think, the typical way that the story has been handed down. And that's why we would tell a story like that. But we must be more careful with the Scripture. This is just an example, one of the many examples that we can find where we develop our narratives not from the Scripture. We develop our narratives from some other source. We develop our narratives from stories that were handed down or from some of the songs that we sing, but not the Scripture. How many people came to see Jesus? The Bible doesn't say. It doesn't say there were three. There might have been 300. And there probably was a whole caravan making that journey. Very true. And they were not at the manger. But most of our nativity scenes, we have nativity scenes in our home that people have given us over the years. We probably have 12 of them. And most of them have the three kings bowing before the manger and offering gifts. Not in the Bible. Just isn't. I'm saying these things not to shame us, but to convince us, to convince us as Christians that if we're going to be able to make the transition that is particularly needed in the day in which we live. These are not ordinary days, folks. If you have, I think most people are figuring that out. These are not ordinary days. And these are not days for us to be casual Christians any longer. And I believe God's calling this community of His people to be more. To be more. Now here's the thing, I think the essential lesson that we get from, oh, there's many things we can draw from this biblical narrative of these wise men, these magi coming and bearing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Kingship, deity, and mortality, some people say those things represent. Or kingship and worship, because frankincense was used as incense and it represents worship and prayer that God is calling us back to Him. And myrrh being that which it actually was used in anointing. It actually could apply to the Holy Spirit that God wants to give all of us. He does give all of us. But He wants us to live, He wants us to come to live in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Yes, He does. That's right. I like you. It helps preachers when there's response. I've had, not often, but had a few opportunities to preach in black churches. Fun. I mean fun. That's right. That's right, preach. That's right. You say something you don't like, oh no. Yeah. But the one thing I want to draw out is that when Jesus was born, and the message that was heralded, peace on earth and goodwill to men, to the shepherds, it wasn't long after His birth that there was not peace on earth and good. There never was peace on earth and goodwill to men. Jesus brings peace. But Jesus also said He brought something else with His birth and His life. You know what it was? The sword. The sword. Well, why is that? Because the world hates Christ. Satan hates Christ. So what happened? What happened? What's the real story of these magi coming and Herod getting involved? They did not go to Herod, by the way. They went and then Herod heard they were in town. Read it. Go home tonight, today, and read it. Herod heard about it. So he called the Magi to him, and he wanted to know more, and he said, well, when you find out where he is, come and tell me, because you know why? I want to go worship him too. Of course, that was a lie. A big lie. Huge lie. And the Holy Spirit guided the Magi to go home a different way and warned Joseph in a dream to get his family, to get Mary and get Jesus and go to Egypt and stay there until those who wanted to kill Jesus had died. That's what the Bible says. But what did Herod do? He killed all the boys that were 2 years old or younger. In great wailing and weeping and grief. Peace on earth? And goodwill toward men? Yes. But not in the world proper. And there's a battle. There's always been a battle. And I think sometimes we just sanitize the Christmas season and we want to talk about peace on earth and good. Don't lose sight of that vision. Oh, we must have that vision. We must have that hope. The Bible says we're saved by hope. We must have that hope, but we must also understand that it brings forth an enemy. The presence of Christ brings forth an enemy. It exposes the enemy. Which leads me to a passage I want to read. Don't want to take too much of your time. I keep playing with this. I keep wanting to lean on it. When I think of the tragedy that occurred because Christ was born, the tragedy, the innocents that were slaughtered in the name of power and control. It happened then and it's happened ever since. Happening now in our current day. And Jesus was born into that. He didn't cause it. He exposed it. His light exposed it. He didn't cause it. But he was born into that kind of broken, sinful place when the Word became flesh. It's, guess what? When we're born again, we also are born again, spiritually alive, quickened into that same kind of place. And we're called, as His people, to persevere in the midst of it, to not try to escape it, to not be of it, but we must be in it. We must be in it. So, if we are in it, oh God, oh Lord of heaven, help us. Your word says you've given us everything we need for life and godliness. Everything we need. Oh, Holy Spirit, help us to appropriate into our lives that. Rescue us from any kind of laziness spiritually. And help us become students of the Scripture. You don't have to go to seminary to be a student of the Scripture. You have God's presence and God's Holy Spirit. All of us do. I just want to encourage you. As we move into this new year, and you know that we face certain things, and this congregation also faces other kinds of transitions. And Scott and his family face transitions too. Hard ones. Hard transitions. Well, we must do it together. And we must do it in love and understanding. Because God has something for this fellowship. Once again, don't know what. I just sense it strongly, strongly in my spirit. So it leads me to this passage out of Ephesians that I want to read. It says, and I start with verse 1 of chapter 5. Follow God's example, it says, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Look, it is impossible to follow God's example that's found and given to us in Christ if we don't understand that he has adopted us as his children and that he loves us. And he's for us and not against us. What people end up with is a form of religion that is hard and boring and they just go through the motions. That's what happens. But when you know who you are, when you know that you belong to God, when you remember that you belong to God, it is an inner motivation that says, I want to know you better, Lord. I want to know you. So the admonition is follow God's example, but here's the condition, as dearly loved children. Don't try to do that if you don't know you're a dearly loved child of God. It'll be very frustrating. I go down to verse 8. For you were once darkness. I read that this morning and it caught my eye. That what it doesn't say caught my eye. It doesn't say, for you were once in darkness. Which we could read it that way if we're not really being attentive. It does not say you were once in darkness. It says you were once darkness. I'm saying hopeless. Darkness. Not just substitute darkness. We ourselves were darkness. That's important. Distinction to understand. When we understand, it helps us to understand the majesty of salvation. The majesty of it. Because we were once darkness, but, oh, and these are such important scriptural words, as I know you're going to start studying the scripture more than you've ever done it before, aren't you? Amen, yes? I hope so. But, real important words. Now, you are light in the Lord. Not in the light. You are light. You were darkness, now you are light. You were dead, now you're alive. Right? Oh, the Word of God is so good. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists of goodness and righteousness and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. I go down to verse 13. Everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, and rise. I love this verse. Wake up, sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Some versions say redeeming the time. I like that. Redeeming the time. We have time. You know, today is, what is today? Today's the 29th, right? Yep. 29th of December, 2024. This is the only 29th of December, 2024, that you and I are going to live. Once it's gone, it's gone. Redeem the time. Make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil, it says. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. But here's the point. Instead, there's another important word, instead. Here's the point. Don't do that, but here's the point. Don't focus on the don'ts. Let's look at the do's. Listen. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And what does that look like? Well, the Bible's going to tell us a little bit. Here, listen, read it on out. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. It's the fellowship of Christians. The worshiping fellowship of Christians. That whether we're in the sanctuary, or whether we're eating a Thanksgiving dinner, or whether we're having coffee together in our homes, The setting doesn't matter. Make the most of every opportunity, redeeming the time, because the days are evil, but we can bring light. We are light, and we can bring illumination to that which is in the shadows. And we do it by the authentic fellowship that we have with God that comes in us and also through us to one another. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God put on my heart. And it is transition. I don't know what Scott intended to say about transition. That's his sermon to give to you. But as I was thinking, Lord, what do you have for us as the people of God? These are some of the thoughts that came into my heart and soul and my mind to share. I love you all. I love what God has been molding you to this point. But here's the thing. Are we able to go on? Are we able to go on? And I hope it's yes, Lord, yes. Yeah, a little song, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. Yes, Lord, yes, I will something and obey. I just really appreciate having this opportunity to speak to you. I also, this is just off the covenant to do this. My wife is sitting back there. My wife, Melissa, or we call her Missy. Either way. But I am thankful for her. And I meant to introduce you. I'm sorry. I was a little overwhelmed with being here for the first time and doing this. So, Rick, you know it's important to do that, right? Yeah. Why didn't you introduce me? Oh, wow. Does it resonate with your heart? Do some of these things that were said resonate with your heart? I hope so. I hope so. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to, you know, how are we filled with, be filled with the Spirit? He said, what's that? What does that look like? Well, you know, there's a lot of opinions and theologies and stuff out there, but really, really, just right down to it, it is being filled with the Spirit proportional to our surrender. To me, it's just that simple. As we offer our lives to Jesus and the Holy Spirit shows us more and more about what we need to surrender, what we're holding on to, what we need to give up, those kinds of things, the more freedom the Holy Spirit has in our lives to fulfill the will of God, understand the will of God, fulfill the will of God in these days that are evil. Oh God, fill us. Help us to have ongoing repentant hearts, repenting toward you, not just from things, but toward you and toward your love. Father God, we love you and we thank you. We can't say thanks enough. And one of the ways that we express being filled with the Spirit is the thankfulness that we express through our lips that we have in our hearts. Holy Spirit, we grant you full permission to continue to show us and prune us, make us, mold us into the likeness of the one who deserves full praise and service, and that is Jesus Christ, who is Lord and is our Lord. Thanks be to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's worship with one more song.